This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling with me, your host Richard McCall, here in Mompox, Colombia, we're talking to the creator of Colombia Facil. This is an independent guide created by Belgian entrepreneur Inge Swinnen, based in Barranquilla, bueno, Puerto Colombia. We talk about what it takes to create your own independent guide in today's market, why she created Colombia Facil, what was the inspiration behind it. So we're talking all things travel in Colombia with Inge Swinnen, Belgian based in Puerto Colombia, and her independent guide, Colombia Facil, which can be seen at colombiafacil.com. So don't go away. Stay tuned for Colombia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompox, Colombia. And it's Columbia Calling. So yes, this is the 28th episode of Columbia Calling. Who would have thought we'd gone for so long? You know, we started in June 2013. We're now into late December. 2013. So it's been a success, and I'm starting to get emails from some of you and comments on my website and commentary. So this is a good thing. That means that someone out there is listening. And to those of you listening and to those of you who are new to the show, I'd like to say thank you. This has been a great year, and let's hope for much better things in 2014 for everyone. Now, the final two shows of the year, so after this show, will be repeats due to holiday commitments in the office. So we'll be starting with, I think it's Mark Firth, talking about the business culture in Colombia. And then later we'll be talking to, the next show will be Caroline Doherty de Novoa, talking about her novel, Dancing with Statues, and applying the realities on the peace process in Ireland with those here in Colombia. So those will be two repeated shows, but they're excellent shows, ones which I have chosen to repeat because they had a high pickup, and yes, many people seem to enjoy them. So if you've missed them and you haven't listened to them yet, please tune in on those days. This is, as I said, Columbia Calling. You can check out our website at www.columbiacallingradio.com. And of course, you can check out my blog at richardmccall.com and see what's going on in the world here in Colombia, what I'm writing about, what seems to be on my mind. Anyway, so this week we'll be talking later to Inge Swinnen. And so this is the final interview of the year. Inge Swinnen. Inge is a Belgian lady from Europe, and she's based in Puerto Colombia, which is a town next door to a town very close to Barranquilla. In fact, it's pretty much a barrio of Barranquilla. She's based there because her husband works for the international school in Barranquilla, and she decided that Colombia required an independent guidebook. So this young lady from Belgium set about traveling the country and writing and putting together the information for her own guidebook on Colombia. So this is called Colombia Fácil, so Easy Colombia. And it's a fantastic guide, and you should check it out at colombiafacil.com. Anyway, so we'll be talking to Inga and all the reasons why she did this and what were her driving motivations behind this. But before that, we'll just discuss very quickly what's going on, a little bit what's going on here in Colombia. Obviously, the most important piece of news, which has been taking over for a week now, is the destitution of the mayor, Mayor Gustavo Petro. Some of you will remember that I got to interview this guy, this divisive and controversial figure. Gustavo Petro is a former M19 guerrilla he's actually from the coast, but he spent his formative years in Zipaquira, so just outside of Bogota. And he's been the Bogota mayor for 2 years, and of course he's not been a good mayor. I mean, love him or hate him, he's not been a good mayor. And some people will argue that, of course, he had his hands tied by the sort of his opponents who remained in positions of power and tried to thwart his every move and every attempt to streamline Bogota, modernize Bogota, and do anything really. I mean, his legacy will be largely pedestrianizing parts of the Septima and, banning bullfighting in Bogota. So that's his legacy, apart from being deposed. Somewhat controversially, the procurador, so I mean, it's certainly the sort of kind of attorney general for Colombia, Mr. Ordóñez, who comes from, let's say, the polar extreme political sphere than Petro. Petro would be left-wing, and Ordóñez will be quite right-wing, certainly a supporter of former President Álvaro Uribe. Anyway, the machinations to depose Petro had been in the works for some time. And yes, this last week, Ordóñez ordered the destitution of Petro for running, putting Bogotanos' lives at risk for his debacle on trying to change the waste system in Bogota. So not so much the waste system, a garbage collection in Bogota. Now, in every city in the world, garbage collection is controlled by certain types of mafias, and Bogota is no exception to the rule. And Petro wished to change this, streamline it, and create a sort of a Bogota zero, waste city, which would always be difficult. And he wanted to include some of the, so let's say, more humble people in the plan. And of course, I mean, it wasn't a great plan, it wasn't a bad plan, but it was an audacious plan. And yes, now he's been kicked out on account of this. Whether this is entirely legal is up for debate. I think if you were a constitutional expert, you would be able to say that it is legal. But it's been declared as wholly undemocratic. And then, of course, to add insult to injury, Petro was then banned from public office, from executing any public office for 15 years. I mean, 15 years, he'd be 68 years old when that finishes. That, so he's not yet given up power. As I'm talking here on the radio, Petro is appealing and he's not yet given up power. The problem is, of course, is that Ordóñez has put Petro into a strengthened position, because the country, left or right, is outraged that the Attorney General in Colombia has too much power. Too much power to depose a democratically, popularly elected official. This guy has basically decided that he didn't like it and ousted him. All over garbage. Now, I'd like to see the graphics and the graphs and the data out there. I'd like to see these things that show that Bogotanos' lives were and their health was at risk due to sort of garbage on the streets. I'd like to see how Ordóñez can justify this. And then, fine. I actually believe that the decision is final, but that we should now be debating how much power the Attorney General Ordóñez or whomever is in that position can actually have. These almost seem like trumped up charges. And it seems like a political game, of course, because we're running into 2014 shortly, a political, you know, a presidential year. And clearly, people are going to want to get their guy into the Palacio Llevano, the traditional seat of power for the mayor in Bogotá. So interesting times here. Interesting times in Colombia. Never a dull moment. Certainly plenty of idiocy when it comes to decision making and they're very good at getting rid of mayors, it seems, because the former mayor, Samuel Moreno, was kicked out. But then he was, you know, found incredibly guilty of corruption, but corruption incredibly serious. Misplanning, mis-executing a desire to change the way that the waste and the refuse collection in Bogotá has been done is different to corruption. So I'll leave that there with you. These are some thoughts for you for that this week. And we'll be coming back in the second section with Inge Svinen, the Belgian of Colombia Facio. So I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Don't go away.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Va subiendo la corriente.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompox, where it is 40 degrees heat and there's no fan on, so I don't get any interference on the recording today. I'm talking to Inge Svinen, a Belgian national here in, she's in Puerto Colombia, Barranquilla. Inge came to Colombia in January 2011, and while she was here, decided to write a multilingual guide to Colombia called Colombia Facil. You can check that out. It's incredibly informative. It's Colombia, spelled as it should be, facil.com. So easy Colombia. Inge, welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Richard.
Thank you for being on the show, Inge. Listen, it's fantastic. You came to Colombia in 2011 because your husband got a job at an international school there in Barranquilla. And I guess you just decided, right, I've got to make my time here count. And from thence came Colombia Facil.
Yeah, that's totally true. Actually, he started working at the German school in January. And well, in the time that he was working, I started traveling, spending his money. So that was actually a perfect deal we made. And during my travels, I fell in love with the country, Colombia. And of course, I also needed a job. And I got a little bit frustrated in the beginning when I was traveling because sometimes it was hard to find accurate information, for example, about prices, about how to get to my final destination, where to sleep and things like that. And I started thinking like, hey, maybe why not? Maybe I can start my own guidebook and to make traveling easier than it is right now. And the translation easy is fácil. And yeah, that's actually how it started.
So Colombia Fácil was born of your desire and your love of traveling and your love for Colombia.
Yes.
And when did you come out with the first edition?
The first edition came out October 2012, so last year. Yeah.
And so this came out and you had it in English and in Spanish, because, I mean, obviously, but the important thing is that the Colombians get to travel in their own country as well. And how was the reception for this first edition when it came out?
Well, very positive. The travelers, they liked the fact that the guidebook was very cheap. So the price of one beer, 2,000 pesos, and that it was small. So it was easy to take it with on their trip in their backpack. On the other hand, nowadays people are traveling with iPads and iPhones. I'm not, but lots of travelers are. And it was good that we also offered the online guides via a free ebook.
Yeah.
So they can also, it was also possible to read it online. Now, the guidebook was in two languages. I received feedback about the fact that it was upside down. And I thought in the beginning, oh, that's a cool idea. It doesn't exist yet. It's funny. But the feedback from the travelers was, it's not that practical as it should be. So in the second edition, we changed that. But to give you an example, why I also made the guidebook in Spanish. For example, my mother-in-law, she came to Colombia and she cannot speak that well Spanish. But because of Colombia Fácil, she was able to travel by herself. And she was so proud because she took a cab, for example, from Taganga to Tayrona or Palomino or whatever. And she couldn't explain it very well to the taxi driver. So she showed the book of Colombia Fácil. And yeah, then I was like, okay, vamos, the taxi driver understood it very quickly. And yeah, traveling was easy.
That's really good. You've obviously made great friends with your mother-in-law that way.
That's so
not only could you send her away, you also made sure she was safe.
It was less work for me at the end, you know.
Yeah. So, but you traveled everywhere. I mean, we met here in Mompos the first time we met here in Mompos because you were coming through, you know, checking out the installations and the town. But I mean, there's nowhere that you didn't go. I mean, how did you find the time to travel so much?
I actually have, like, the first edition, I was traveling almost 1 year and a half. Of course, I still have my husband here in Puerto Colombia, so it was not possible traveling full time. But 2 months, 3 months there, then a couple of weeks there. I tried to combine my travels or my holiday, kind of holiday, it was working also, to combine it with friends, with my husband also.
You came with your husband and you set up this Colombia Fácil, which is now, you know, it's a nationwide brand. People, travelers know Colombia Fácil and the artwork is excellent. Let me just ask you a little bit about the artwork on that. I mean, who is responsible for this artwork in the Colombia Fácil guides?
The difference between the first and the second edition, this year I work with a very good friend, Tom. He's also Belgian.
Yeah.
Last year it was a girl, also Belgian, but I changed it a little bit because Tom and me, we're going to work a little bit more in the future. He's also a web designer.
Okay.
Because that's not my cup of tea, so he will help me improving the website and stuff like that too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so you traveled everywhere, you've done everything, you've set out this guide. The second edition, when is it out?
Well, actually, yesterday the free ebook went online. And from the 18th of December, so in a couple of days, I will start shipping the guidebooks to all destinations in Colombia.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't stop. In order to have started this project and have you know, this venture, what's your background?
I studied film school in Brussels, and I worked for 3 years in Belgium for the Belgian television and private production companies. But it was, at the end, I was stressed a little bit, so I started traveling, and then I met my husband, my German husband, and then I moved to Germany. So, to be honest, I traveled a lot. I have lots of travel experience. But writing, no, that's all new for me. So it was a big job, the first edition. I learned so many things, and still I'm improving. It's huge.
And so when we look at Colombia Fasa, I mean, this is really directed at the backpacker market, right? I mean, that is your aim.
Yeah, we have on one side, we have the independent travelers who use Colombia Fácil and who like to go to a destination without knowing too much. Yeah. That's also my main goal. I don't like to take away the surprise effect, just to give them some practical information to get there and some highlights what to do over there in the destination. But on the other hand, we have a group who likes to travel more in group and with the company of a tour operator.
Yeah.
But like crazy destinations, for example, like Mitu in Amazon, you don't go there by yourself. You go with a tour operator. But when you go with them, it's a unique experience. You see like the ritual dances. You meet up with the local Indians who are actually the only ones who live there. It's not touristic at all. So you're actually happy to have someone of a tour operator with you because you also don't know where to go and stuff. There are still so many so many destinations in Colombia that are not discovered yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
I think it's great. I mean, and also you're still appealing to the spirit of adventure. And this is something about which I write a fair amount, and of course I observe and investigate, because you know everyone nowadays can get up, tap into their smartphone, iPhone, iPad, whatever, and download an app an ebook or a guide or whatever, or a forum, let's say TripAdvisor, and they can get the information that they're looking for. But you know, you've just explained in that last sort of blurb that you spoke about, is that you're giving them information, but you're not giving everything. There's still something left for the adventurous of spirit, for that person who wants to be intrepid and go out there and you know, really discover something. And I think that's really key. I think my hat is off to you on that one, because
thank you.
You know, we shouldn't have it all spelled out for us, should we?
Yes. And also, on the other hand, opinions can be different. Eh? I can go to a hostel or a place and I can be such a big fan, but my friend, maybe she thinks different.
Yes. Of course. Well, we're talking here to Inga Svinen. Inga is a Belgian national living in Puerto Colombia.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. It seems almost silly to ask, but if you're going to be living abroad, why wouldn't you want to learn the language? Do you want to make life more difficult for yourself? If you're going to the time, expense, and risk of living abroad, give yourself the best chance for success by actually being able to communicate with your new neighbors, at least on some level of proficiency. A recent article in Escape from America magazine caught our attention. In it, writer Paul Allen wrote about his experience at a conference in Vienna, attended by folks from all over Europe and the Middle East. Allen was amazed at the level of English skill exhibited by attendees who were using it as their second or even third language. Yes, English is still the language of business, but that sentiment is not going to do you much good when you're trying to buy a bar of soap in Managua. Don't be the ugly American who thinks the rest of the world should bend to your accident of birth. Allen went on to quote a 2005 European Commission study, which reported that the following percent of adults in these countries were able to converse in English. Sweden, 85%, Denmark, 83%, Netherlands, 79%, and Luxembourg, 66%. Add to these amazingly high numbers that over 50% speak English in Finland, Slovenia, Austria, Belgium, and Germany. Kind of makes us look inadequate, huh? A Dutch friend who Allen spoke with told him that she believes that American television had a great influence, since the shows run with Dutch subtitles rather than being dubbed. A last tidbit for you. English is the third most spoken language in the world, after Mandarin Chinese and Spanish. Americans planning on living abroad in a Central American country, take heed. They speak Spanish there. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente, con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. This is Richard McCall. I'm your host here on Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. We're talking to Inga Svinen. Inga is a Belgian lady based in Puerto Colombia, and she has written a guidebook, the second edition of which, Colombia Fácil, comes out shortly. And yes, I mean, she's written herself into the sort of legends of old here in Colombia for creating this guidebook that you can find in pretty much every single hostel or sort of mid-range hotel across Colombia. So Inga, again, like I said earlier, thank you for being on the show and sharing with us your enthusiasm for Colombia.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Now, Inga, we've talked a bit about you. We talked about your background and your husband working here in Colombia. And we were just finishing off the first section of this interview, talking about sort of the spirit of adventure. And this is something I feel is really, you know, disappearing in travel. And we were talking about, you know, that you mentioned right at the end saying, you know, what appeals to you is possibly not going to appeal to your friends. And vice versa. And that's why when I saw in the guidebook this little, it was almost a throwaway comment, but it says, Colombia Fácil is not a Bible. What made you write that?
Yeah, well, like I said before, opinions can be different, which is a good and healthy thing. But also other kind of arguments did me convinced to write this sentence in my guidebook. For example, when I travel from Palomino to Santa Marta, almost every time the price of the bus ticket is different. Yes. And the difference is not that big, but yeah, because of that, my price in the guidebook I research is maybe not 100% right. Another example, the same mother-in-law, she called me once. She was in Playa Blanca, that's kind of paradise, very close to Cartagena. She was there and she called me like, hey Inge, I just need your advice because the woman on the beach is asking me like 80,000 pesos for a massage of 1 hour. Is that correct? And I said, of course not, that's too expensive. But you know what, there's not a problem. You can tell her that you will pay 30,000. That's the maximum muscle minutes for 1 hour of a massage. Yeah. And she said, like, she started laughing, said, like, oh, that's maybe a problem because the woman is already, she already finished the massage. So, yeah, we had fun. And of course, at the end, she didn't pay 80,000, she paid less. But that's also so my main goal to show the travelers, like, hey, use my Colombia Fácil guide as a guideline. To be sure, más o menos, what is the price, that you have an idea. Because when you come from Europe, for example, maybe 80,000 is still not that expensive.
Yeah, it's like sort of, let's say, a €40 or $40 equivalent. But equally, you know, we can't be thinking in European standards in Colombia.
No, of course not.
But is you know, you're talking about prices and price changes. I mean, is it? I mean, I don't know. I go into places on the coast. I'm here in the coast right now, and just by being the gringo, you know, I know the price has increased. In your experience all over Colombia, has this been the same issue?
To talk about traveling in South America, I think the Colombians have much respect in difference, for example, with the people in Brazil. Yeah. But of course, we're still gringos, and they know that, especially at the Caribbean coast. When you take a cab, they don't have meters, so they just tell you a price. But you can say, like, hey, Colombia fast, we're seeing más o menos the price is 20,000.
Yeah.
So you cannot ask me a price of 40,000, for example. So in Bogota, Medellin, the bigger cities, when you take a cab, it's always with a meter, and you can use the yellow board behind the seat with the numbers, so you're 100% sure that the price is right. But that's not in all destinations, you know.
Yeah, we might just add in there, for those people coming to Colombia or thinking about going to Colombia, most cities have this yellow card, laminated card in their taxis, mm-hmm. which then you sort of, let's say you see the number that corresponds on the taxi meter to what's on your mm-hmm. card and how much you should be paying. But of course, there are surcharges as well. But equally, it's important.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, it's true. Yeah, there is a let's say opportunism.
Yes.
Not
I would do the same. I mean, yes. Same in Belgium when I have Colombian tourists over. I don't know. I would do the same. It's not that negative. Yeah.
Now, another question for you. You're printing the second edition shortly. How many copies will you be printing?
Well, 14,000 this year. Like I told you before, the 18th of December, I'm picking them up, and bit by bit, I'm going to start sending it. And this year, I'm going to send it to 36 destinations. Uh-huh. In Colombia, but there are two new ones abroad. One destination, Panama City, and one in Quito.
Ah.
So, well, I think that's a good thing, because I learned from my first edition that lots of people are crossing the borders, and there is a lot of a big demand on I'm entering Colombia, but what now? So when I'm gonna have guidebooks over there, it will be better for tourism in Colombia. Yeah,
I think you're obviously looking at the market there, and of course the people traveling overland from Ecuador up into Colombia, or those coming down through, through the San Blas Islands into from Panama. I think that's a very good idea. We talked briefly about feedback, but tell me one thing: do you get emails from fans now? Thanking you for the guide.
Yeah, there are some people who are saying, especially Colombians also, they're very happy what I'm doing for their country, and also that their own fear is disappearing. It's very funny, but also there are lots of travelers who are writing or sending me emails like, hey, Inge, I've been to a very nice hostel in this city or this place. Hey, maybe you can check it out for your next guide. So it's really cool that actually, in a way, we're all connected or working together on improvements. Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like a big happy family, the big Colombia Facil happy family.
Yes.
Okay. So 40,000 copies are going out there. We're going to find this overseas. And do you have any plans to market it in Europe as well?
Maybe in the future, maybe. But that's not for now. I'm still very small, I think. I need to grow a little bit more. But that can be an option. Yeah. And maybe also to start with an app. Yeah.
Well, I think an app is obviously, you know, clearly the way to go. Everyone's got an app, it seems. And then you've got, of course, the ebook and everything. Now, another thing for you here. So, and the website, you know, people can update. And okay, let's say I've got a business. Well, I do have a business, and I have been affiliated. But if there are any people out there with businesses who want to be involved in this, how do they get in contact with you? What is the protocol?
They just contact me via email, and they explain what they do, and then I started traveling, and then in my trips I try to visit them. When not, then trying to send good friends or good contacts who can check it out for me. But till now, actually, still till the second edition, I was always traveling by myself. But maybe in the future, I don't know, we will see how it goes, how big Colombia Facil will be. But maybe I need to work more with the Colombia Facil team. and I will lead it, and we have, we will have like a list where we, and for me, for example, it's very necessary that the rooms are clean, that the service is good. But the atmosphere need to be good and peaceful too, of course. And there are lots of options. And there was, for example, one hostel in Colombia who contacted me. I visited, but I was not happy. And they wanted to be in Colombia Facil, but I said, no, sorry. We have rules too. I need to think about my image or the image of Colombia Facil. And for example, the mattresses were very bad and it was not clean. And no, so it's very important that we go there and check it out ourselves.
Yeah. Of course, then you're giving it a seal of approval.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You can't just be, you can't just for, like, say, sponsorship or you know, they, okay, they've paid to have an something advertorial in there. You can't just you pretend that it's great, because, of course, you're defrauding your readers.
Yes, no, it needs to be realistic, of course. Yeah.
Now, and the website's easy to navigate. That's colombiafacil.com. Now, how many? What's your sort of hit rate on this website? How have you seen a notable increase in the interest on your website that goes hand in hand with the interest in Colombia?
Yes. Well, I'm using the Google Analytics for that to analyze everything a little bit more. But Tom, he's the one who's going to help me in the future. Like I told you, it's not my cup of tea, web design and stuff. But our site is visited more than 250 times a day. But the next step now, actually, everything is written. Everything is now ready for print. In a couple of days, I'm doing the shipping. And the next step is to optimize our website with SEO, like search engine optimization. So we will have better results in the future. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's around 3,000 hits a month. This is pretty good for a niche market like Colombia. It's only growing.
Yeah, it's only growing. That's true.
Oh, that's fantastic. And well, I mean, obviously, when you get into the SEO, the search engine optimization and all of this other technical stuff, then you're losing me. I'm not up to speed on any of that. But I mean, we can find you on Twitter. We can find you on Facebook. We can find you online. I mean, you've got a big online presence. You know, and it's really important, and you're out there and you're driving tourism to Colombia. You're increasing, you're another voice out there representing, you know, let's say you're shouting out and saying Colombia can be visited.
Yes, and I'm doing a lot. I'm working a lot with pictures. You can tell so much with pictures. I was doing an article for a Belgian kind of newspaper all about traveling, and Colombia will have a big part in it. And the cover of the guidebook of the newspaper will have a picture of Colombia Facil, but from a woman who is working with bananas in the Amazon, very beautiful. And like Colombia Facil is on Instagram and Pinterest. I don't know. It's like kind of social media product. And it's incredible what you can do with pictures. It's so beautiful. and people are contacting me like, hey, you're posting so many beautiful pictures. Let's do this. Come over. And with social media, you can also integrate lots of things about cheap flights. And lots of companies are doing great things recently. So, lots of friends are coming over next year. Yeah.
This is fantastic, Inga. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back at the last segment of the show, and we'll continue talking about Colombia Facil and more of your travel plans around here. So at the moment, I'm talking to Inga Svinen, who is a Belgian in Puerto Colombia. That's near to Barranquilla, and she's the brains and the brawn behind Colombia Facil. That's colombiafacil.com, a guidebook that, you know, basically gives you all you need to know, but, you know, retains the adventure for when you come to Colombia. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente, con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. I'm your host, Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network, and we've been talking to Inga Svinen, a Belgian in Puerto Colombia. Puerto Colombia is this mythical town. It's not mythical, but it's almost the place of myths because it was immortalized in Gabriel Garcia Marquez's novel, is it Memories of My Sad Horse? Is it Memorias de Mis Putas Tristes? Is that right, Inga?
I don't think so. I think it's different, but I cannot remember.
Okay, so I've been called on that one. Anyway, so listen, we're talking to Inga, who's the brains behind Colombia Facil. Colombia Facil, a new guide, has been out a year now, but the second edition is coming out shortly, a new and improved version for 2014, and will be 40,000 copies in the first print run. I mean, that's a big print run, and you'll be able to find it all through Colombia. And, of course, you can check it out online, colombiafacil.com. Now, Inga, we were talking earlier, and we've talked in different occasions, and your name is not easy for Colombians.
not at all.
And I mean, I have a friend in Salento who's changed his name because he felt that he needed a finca name, so he calls himself Don Eduardo. I think we both know to whom I'm referring, but
yes.
You've changed your name.
Well, I'm just using my name differently. My name here in Colombia is Ines, because Inge, it's for them impossible. They say Inge, or Ingrid, maybe. That's sometimes also possible. So I'm just saying directly. My name is Ines, and then, yeah, it works perfectly.
and I guess you find out there in Puerto Colombia, everyone now calls you Ines.
Yes.
That's right. So you're
Ines, the gringa.
the mona, the white lady.
Yes,
who's called Ines.
Yeah, Ines from Colombia Facil.
Oh, that's very good. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, you've traveled the length and the breadth of Colombia, and, you know, you don't get tired of traveling?
No, not at all. No, it's because tourism is growing that fast. I cannot follow to discover all those things. No, I still have a long list what I want to visit. For example, I don't know if have you been already to Caño Cristales?
I went just over a year ago.
How was it?
Amazing. It really is. Caño Cristales, for those of you out there listening, it's just this incredible river with a type of algae that grows just beneath the surface in a red and purple color. And so the water looks to be those colors. It looks otherworldly.
Yes, it's incredible. So that's for sure on my to-do list. And I mean, like, the eastern part of Colombia, which is all jungle, the pure nature, it's getting there. It's getting there safer and safer. So soon, in a couple of years, we can travel to all those places. I mean, it's also incredible how many things are popping up in Colombia the last 3 years since I arrived in 2011. All the hostels and new touristic destinations. It's incredible. So, yeah, no, my life is not boring. And, no, I keep on traveling for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you, obviously, I mean, what, you know, since you've been here, the 3 years that you've been here, what changes in terms of tourism have you seen? But you've shot ahead on that one. You've seen new hostels and new destinations. destinations, but are there any destinations that you would like to sort of indicate as particularly special, which are new?
Which are new. For example, Hardin, that's a place, a very typical place in Antioquia. It's very close to Medellin. Masumin is like 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
It is actually more famous by the national tourism. So Colombians go there faster or easier. And it's getting there to get more famous also by the foreigners. Mm-hmm. By us. I don't know why it took so long, because it's so beautiful. It's really beautiful. The whole Antioquia is beautiful. This year we're integrating Alejandría. It's a place, for example, you can travel from Medellín to Guatapé, which is 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then you go 1 hour more and you go to Alejandría. It's not that famous yet because it was a red zone, like, since, yeah, 6 years ago. And mm-hmm. So people still have the impression it's dangerous, but I was there with my friends. It's beautiful. You see waterfalls, you can do tubing. I don't know if people know what tubing is. Probably they know, right?
Yeah,
it's the Belgium, they're always asking me, what is tubing? But you can do lots of natural hikes, sports, swimming in natural pools. It's beautiful. And hopefully with the second edition, people will go traveling there.
So Alejandría used to be a conflict zone 6 years ago, but now it's all fine. There's no security issue whatsoever.
No, nothing happened the last 10 years. No, it's really safe. Yes.
It's nice to hear. I mean, I'd never heard of Alejandría at all, but Jardín, I have not visited, but I know where it is.
Yeah, you have a list too, huh?
Yes.
You need some holiday, I think.
I finally got to Popayán this year for the first time.
Oh, that's also a great city.
The distances are so big here, and life gets in the way, unfortunately. You know,
yes.
When you're working or married or traveling, you've got to pick your destinations. But I'm not, not as lucky as you. So I can't just go off and discover Colombia.
Yeah, but don't you think that traveling in Colombia with public transport is so easy? For example, you can just. I mean, there are not that many rules. For example, when you take the local buses, you just jump on a bus where you want. You get off the bus where you want. The bigger companies, they have toilets. They offer private TV screens. They even have Wi-Fi nowadays. I don't think Belgium has that, but Colombia has. It's incredible. So traveling by bus is really comfortable. Yeah,
it's true. Well, I mean, we have to have mass transit, but transport situation, and it is very easy to get anywhere, really.
Yes, there's always a solution.
Yeah, that's right. When we were flooded around here, you could still take a boat and a donkey and a car and everything. I mean, you'd still get here. but listen, about your travels all around the country, have you got any anecdotes that you'd like to share with us about the travels? Anything that has really either warmed your heart or has made you laugh or meant that you wanted to return to a place?
Yeah, what I think is always very funny, but I keep on trying, is that, for example, you live here already, I think, 8 years in Colombia, know that Colombians, they like to eat meat.
Yes.
But I'm a vegetarian. I like fish, but I don't eat meat. So when I'm traveling through Colombia, I go to the bus terminals and I always try to ask them, hey guys, do you have a sandwich without meat? And they always give me the answer, yeah, sure, with chicken. So that's still like an issue. But about my Colombian life, for example, I went to a concert of a Pacific band at Chocki Town. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah, Chocki Town, good. The Grammy winners.
Yes. It's lovely music. And it was a big concert because it was also with Calle 13 from Puerto Rico and hip hop band. And in Barranquilla, it was a huge event because in Barranquilla, you don't find that many big concerts, unfortunately. And the funny part was, it was a big surprise that they were offering only vodka Smirnoff as a drink. You were not able to buy water or beer because it was not there. it was so funny. But and then a couple of months later, there was a free rock concert in Barranquilla, and there it wasn't able to buy anything at all, and no beers, nothing, no vodka. And then the government was showing like movies next to the stage, two big screens with movies with anti-drugs campaigns, and it's bad to drink alcohol. So anyway, sometimes it's funny how they think. Like then other months afterwards, there was a big concert of Black Sabbath in Bogota. Mm-hmm. And again, it was not allowed to drink beer there. So sometimes I don't know if it's conservative, but yeah. But they connect metal music or rock music with black, with violence, or maybe people who listen to that kind of music, they drink more beer or take more drugs. I don't know. It's sometimes very funny how they think.
Yeah, maybe there's not absolutely clear logic to the way these things have come about. It is odd, isn't it? But I mean, how is it? You can go to, imagine the concert in Barranquilla of Calle 13 and Chalky Town was swelteringly hot, and the only thing you have to refresh yourself is Smirnoff Ice.
Yes.
I mean, that, it must have made for an interesting, when everyone's leaving, how, you know, everyone's in love with one another, you know, they're all so happy.
Yes, there was a level of happiness around. Yeah, that was true. And it was a cool concert. But I mean, something like that wouldn't be possible in Europe. No, water is always there, just also in case of security, mm-hmm. or whatever. But yeah.
Now, one last thing here. Now, we're going to, you know, in all of your travels, and you've been all over the place, and of course, you've got a list, I've got a list, but you've never had any security problems here in Colombia.
No, never, never. And most of the time I'm traveling by myself. I was also crossing the border to Quito. And when I came back, because they're always saying, don't take a bus at night in the south because it's in pure nature and you need to be more careful because robberies can be there. I mean, so the good thing is the government of Colombia, they organize convoys. So when you come from Quito and you leave very early in the morning, but you arrive, for example, in Popayan, you arrive at 1 o'clock at night, but it's that late because when it starts to become dark, the buses, they stop and they wait for each other. So they go in a convoy. So it's really nice. You feel safe. There is army all over on the big roads. They put their thumb up to show you like, hey, you can pass, the road is safe. No, I never felt unsafe and nothing happened till now. I'm knocking on the table now.
Yeah.
Yes, but no, I never had problems at all. No.
Ah, fantastic. Now, and also we're coming into 2014, which is an election year, presidential elections, always, you know, always an interesting time. As you're a tourism and a travel expert here in Colombia, how do you feel that this might affect, travel to Colombia? Do you think people will be put off traveling here because of elections?
Well, Santos, he's running for a second time for president in next year, May, I think it is, in 2014. And maybe we just need to give him the opportunity to finish what he started with the peace process. Uh-huh. I mean, we cannot continue with this war. It's just ridiculous. I think if he can continue with his process and the dialogues about peace, maybe in a way it will affect tourism, of course, because it will improve lots of things. And when he can finish what he started, it can only be a good thing, I think. Yeah,
no, I understand that. That makes sense. If we have continuity and that some sort of agreement is reached with the FARC guerrillas who are engaged in peace dialogues at the moment. And
yes,
this is only positive, isn't it? It's only positive for the future and future tourism. And of course, then, the market needs and commerce within Colombia.
Yes, and also the government now in general is doing a lot to improve the safe situation and improve tourism also abroad. But for example, recently also Medellin opened a historic museum on Colombia's conflict. I don't know if you know about that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's very interesting, I guess, also for the travelers who come over, who can go to visit the museum to learn about the past, what happened, and get like a better image about, yeah, what happened in the past. And I think in a way that will help also, how do you say, like that the fear that travelers will have to come over will disappear more and more because they know that the situation nowadays is different. For example, I was in Cartagena this weekend and I saw lots of touristic points from the government where you can go to and ask questions. I saw the police on bikes. Just be around, just to check out if there were problems. In Bogota, the national police is installing tents where you can go to ask all about tourism, where to go, or tips, or travel advice.
So, I mean, you know, they're making a concerted effort to to be visible and helpful.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't know that in Cartagena, but I'll be going there soon, so I'll definitely check it out.
Yes.
Inga, listen, thank you so much for your time. You know, you've really shown us a different side to the sort of the travel market here, and you've shown that it can be done because, you know, you were here and you decided to write a guide, and we can only applaud you on this.
Thank you for me having in the show.
You're very welcome. Now listen, so for those of you out there curious about Inga, check out her website. That's colombiafacil.com. She's on Twitter as well. The handle is @colombiafacil. You can find her on Pinterest. You can find her in ebooks. How can we get your ebook, Inga?
You can just check it out on my website. Okay. Find a free guidebook here and then click on it and then you will find the link.
Excellent. Well, I hope we drive you a few more hits to your website and a few more downloads. And
perfect. Thank you.
And thank you very much for being on. So I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. And I hope you've enjoyed today's show with Inga Svinen. And yes, get in touch if you want to talk to different sorts of people or you want to recommend someone to be interviewed. We're always here. We're always trying to, publicize those people doing good things in Colombia. So thank you very much.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.